look out. Thugs beware. Killers watch out. Wrongdoers don't dare.
In the deepest dark of night, he waits for the danger. One man's holy blind, evil's only true avenger.
In the bowels of the city, a solitary dark-clad figure sits nestled in the shadows of a vast, sprawling cavern. Here, the most modern scientific equipment looms beside the most ancient tools of the murderer's art, and countless unique trophies stand in mute testimony to the ability of one man. It is a cavern filled to bursting with the stuff of legend, the untold legend of the Batman!
Glad I had a chance to answer my mail before I got buried under it. This package is the last.
Ready for your evening repast, sir?
Thanks, Alfred. As ever, your timing is absolutely... Oh, no!
What is it, Master Bruce?
It's a costume, Alfred. Or what's left of it. The costume worn by the first Batman. My father.
But that's impossible, sir.
I know it is, Alfred. That costume has always resided in a place of honor, right here in the Batcave.
Indeed, sir. I dusted the display case just yesterday. Surely the original costume must still be there.
Yeah, see for yourself, old friend.
Merciful heavens, it's...
Empty! The costume is gone. And in its place, there's a message, taped to the case from the inside.
What does it say?
This is only the beginning, Batman. Before I'm done, I will destroy you!
Master Bruce, are you all right? You've been pushing yourself rather hard lately.
It's nothing, Alfred. Just a slight headache.
Your problems with the Catwoman, the warehouse explosion.
It'll pass. What won't pass is the fury that I'm feeling right now.
That old costume was precious to you, wasn't it, sir?
Old friend, nothing I've ever owned was more precious. If not for this outfit, there might never have been a Batman. I can still see my father wearing it in the night of the charity costume party.
I wish I could wear a suit like that, Daddy.
I'll save it for you, Bruce, to wear when you grow up.
The theme of the ball was flying creatures, and Dad's costume took first prize, just seconds before three gunmen took Dad.
We figured there'd be a doctor in this fancy crowd.
Yeah, better come with us, Doc, before somebody gets hurt.
It seems I have no choice.
The punks brought Dad to an old warehouse, where their boss sat waiting.
You're Lou Moxon, the bank robber the police are after.
Yeah, one of them winged me, and I want you to remove the slug.
Dad knew that once he extracted the bullet, Moxon would never let him live. He saw only one way to save himself. He took it. And before the startled thugs could react, they joined the other wounded mobster on the floor. By the time Moxon and his men recovered, the police had arrived, including a young lieutenant named James W. Gordon.
And you'll be willing to testify, Dr. Wayne?
Lieutenant, it will be my pleasure.
The trial was one of the shortest in Gotham City's history, thanks mostly to my father's detailed testimony. And when the furious Moxon was sentenced to 10 years in prison...
You did this to me, Wayne. I swear I'll get you for this. I'll get you!
And several weeks later, as my parents and I walked home from a movie through a fashionable neighborhood that was then called Park Row...
Okay, this is a stick-up. I'll take that necklace you're wearing, lady.
You hoodlum, don't you dare lay a hand on my wife.
Maybe now you'll keep quiet.
Thomas? Help, please! Help!
Ah, this will shut you up, sister.
They're dead. You killed them.
Hey, stop looking at me like that, kid. Stop looking at me!
You killed my mother and father. You!
An instant later, the killer fled, leaving me behind with my grief. The murderer's name was Joe Chill, and his face would haunt me the rest of my life. For a seeming eternity, I knelt beside my parents' bodies, weeping. Until a gentlewoman named Leslie Tompkins took me into her arms and did her best to soothe my pain. I still owe her for that, a debt I can never fully repay. At the funeral, I was all cried out, so I simply stood there and bid a silent farewell to the two people I love the most in all the world. I have not shed a single tear in their memory since. Later, my Uncle Philip, who'd been appointed my guardian, introduced me to his housekeeper.
I have to travel a bit, Bruce, so I'm putting you in the care of Mrs. Chilton.
I have grown sons of my own, Bruce. It'll be nice having a boy around again.
I hope so, ma'am.
Mrs. Chilton saved my sanity, Alfred. She cared for me, comforted me, taught me honesty and integrity. In so many ways, she was like a second mother to me.
But regrettably, she was also the mother of that murderous Joe Chill. Though Master Bruce must never know that. In her own fashion, that woman more than made amends for her son's heinous crime.
I tried to feel at home in my uncle's house, but my spirit knew no peace. Until at last, driven by emotions I could no longer control, I knelt by my parents' graveside, and an angry sky bore witness as I made a solemn vow.
I swear I'll dedicate my life and my inheritance to bringing your killer to justice and to making war on all criminals. I swear it!
I was a pre-adolescent boy, impatient to be a man, and the work was hard, but I welcomed it. I needed it, and nothing would keep me from it.
Thanks for the milk and cookies, Mr. Chilton.
You're welcome, Bruce, but shouldn't you be out playing with the other boys? Too much studying isn't good for you.
I can play later. I have more important things to do.
That poor boy. Seems that when his folks died, a part of him died with them.
It was almost a year to the day after the murderers when I saw the headline.
Police Detective Harvey Harris nabs Skyway Robber. This Harvey Harris is one of the greatest detectives of them all. If I could only be like him when I grow up. Maybe if I convinced him that I have some detective ability, he'd be willing to teach me. But I can't let him know who I am. He'd do his best to discourage me. I'll just have to find some way to keep my identity secret.
And that night, in the privacy of my own room, I took a fateful step.
This bright red costume with its green cape is a bit fanciful, but it ought to do the job. The next step is to catch Mr. Harris alone after he leaves headquarters.
It was the first time I ever went forth in costume, and I stepped into something I hadn't bargained for.
Harris was trailing someone. But the guy knows he's being followed and he's waiting in ambush. I've got to do something. Fast.
Stanton was waiting for me. But someone pushed that big tin advertising display off the roof and nailed him.
And when uniformed officers had taken Harris's would-be assailant away...
Well, young fellow, it seems I owe you a lot. Who are you?
I can't tell you that, Mr. Harris, but I can tell you this. You're the greatest living detective, and I want to be your pupil.
Well, I do owe you a debt, so I'll teach you something about my profession. And since you're as brilliant as Robin Redbreast in that outfit, I think I'll call you Robin.
Swell! What do I learn first?
First, you'll learn that detective work is no lighthearted game, but a life of hard work, of loneliness, and danger.
And no student ever had a better teacher than Harvey Harris. At his side, I was taught the finer points of boxing, the subtleties of fingerprint identification, and the dangers that were all too commonplace in what was to be my chosen career. But I studied, and more importantly, I learned. And when that spectacular summer was finally through...
You're good, son, but you still need years of practice. But one day, when you're fully trained, when you're fully grown, you may well become the greatest detective of us all.
I'll do my best to make you proud of me, sir.
Although I didn't know it then, Harvey Harris was the first person to solve the secret of my double identity. But he's long dead now, rest his soul. So that eliminates him as a suspect in this.
I should certainly hope so, sir.
Still, as the years passed, I never forgot what Harris had taught me, and I trained myself as best I could, striving for physical perfection. When I turned 18, I could have been Olympic material if I had so chosen. But for me, there never really was a choice. I had to continue my education if I was ever going to fulfill my childhood vow. My college major was in criminology, so I excelled at it out of necessity. I made certain I learned everything. I minored in psychology because I needed to know more than just the criminal method. I had to understand the criminal mind as well as I knew my own. But it was in my law class, under the tutelage of Professor Amos Rexford, that I learned my greatest lesson.
Rexford is smiling today, Bruce. Looks like we're really in for it.
If that's a smile, I'd hate to see the man when he's frowning.
When you're all seated, we can begin. Two 19-year-old boys steal a car for a joyride. Along the way, one of them changes his mind and asks to be let out of the car. Before his friend, who is driving, can comply, the car accidentally strikes an old woman crossing the street and kills her. Should the boy who changed his mind still be charged with felony manslaughter? Mr. Wayne.
Granted, the second boy stole the car, Professor, but he had no part in the accidental death. I would find him guilty on car theft, but not manslaughter.
And you would be wrong. Under the law, the second boy was just as guilty of complicity as if he had been behind the wheel.
But is that justice, Professor Rexford?
No, Mr. Wayne. That's the law.
Thus, after graduation, as I stood once more before my parents' graves... Forgive me, Mom, Dad, but I can't become a policeman as I intended to. They're too often hamstrung by the very laws they're sworn to uphold. No, there has to be another way, and I swear I'll find it. My father's shrewd investments had left me one of the country's wealthiest men, and I needed a way to put that fortune to use. There's only so much that one man can do. But throughout history, there have been figures who have become rallying points for men of goodwill everywhere. King Arthur, Robin Hood, the Scarlet Pimpernel. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe I have to become more than a man. I've got to become a symbol. Criminals are a superstitious, cowardly lot. So I have to wear a disguise that will strike terror into their hearts.
I must be a creature of the night. Black, terrible, like a... And as if in answer, a dark winged shape flew in through the open window. A bat! That's it! It's like an omen. I shall become a bat! And thus was born a weird figure of the shadows, a dark avenger of evil, the Batman! Someday I'll find my parents' killer. Someday. In the years that followed, I hunted down some of the greatest criminals the world has ever known. The Joker, Two-Face, the Penguin, Catwoman, the Riddler, and more. I stared into the face of pure, unadulterated evil more times than I care to remember. But the face was never the right face. The face of my parents' killer. Ironic, isn't it, Alfred? All those years training to become the world's greatest detective, all those supervillains I fought and defeated, and still I couldn't track down one lousy two-bit gunman. Of course, I didn't have much to go on then, only a face. The name wouldn't come until later. It happened all by accident, really, as Robin and I stopped to check out a transport truck that had crashed by the side of the road.
Batman, look! A secret door in the truck's side, and there's a man coming out!
Batman and Robin, well, you ain't taking me in. I'll measure you for a coffin first.
But before the cornered thug could pull his trigger, an arriving patrolman put an end to his threat. To his wasted life as well. By the time we reached police headquarters, Commissioner Gordon already had a fistful of information.
It's a whole new kind of racket, Batman. Smuggling hot crooks across the state lines. The new owner of the trucking company is a man named Joe Chill. Here's a recent photo of him.
That face, after all these years, it's him. This is the face of the man who killed my parents. For the next few weeks, Robin and I tried in vain to nail Chill for his crimes, until I had only one option left. There's only one way to stop Chill. It's a desperate move, but I have to make it, even if it means the end to Batman's career. And so, after all those endless years, I confronted Joe Chill. Chill, I want to tell you a story without an ending, but maybe you can supply one. It began several years ago, when Thomas Wayne, his wife, and young son Bruce were stopped by a bandit.
Did you say Wayne?
The bandit killed Thomas Wayne and his wife, then, frightened, ran away, but not before young Bruce memorized his features. Bruce Wayne can still identify that killer, Chill. It was you!
You're bluffing, Batman. How do you know what really happened?
I know because I am the son of the people you murdered, Chill. I know because I am Bruce Wayne.
No!
Chill ran again, then I let him. He was scared now, and this time I would be waiting when he made a mistake. But in desperation, Chill ran to the repair garage of his trucking line.
Hey, fellas, please, I need your help. You see, years ago, I knocked off a guy, and now his son is after me. And this guy's son, he's the Batman.
You killed the Batman's father? Oh, you're kidding.
It's true, I swear it. Batman just told me who he really is. He said he became the Batman because I killed his foe.
You mean... you're the reason for the Batman? The guy who sent me up the river?
You're responsible for the man who broke up my numbers racket?
You inspired the manhunter who put me in the pen?
And almost as one, the hate-crazed thugs meted out their own perverse kind of justice.
It's all because of you!
And when cold sanity returned seconds later...
We must have gone trigger-happy. Do you guys realize what we did?
Yeah, we clubbed Chill before he could tell us Batman's real name.
Hey, wait, Chill's still alive. Maybe he can talk.
Maybe so, but you three won't be in any condition to hear what he has to say.
It's the Batman!
Got him!
Did you learn anything from the lesson of Joe Chill? I don't like guns. Or the cowardly creeps that use them. And when the three thugs sprawled unconscious on the floor. Still with us, Chill?
Yeah, but not for long. Funny, ain't it? Because I started you off as the Batman. The boys plugged me. Guessing in the long run, you got me after all.
No, Chill. The Batman didn't finish you. It was Bruce Wayne. I thought that put an end to the Wayne murder case, Alfred. I put away the file and I marked it closed, but I was wrong.
Indeed you were, sir.
It was a year or so later, and we were cleaning out the attic, when I accidentally discovered a secret drawer in my father's old desk.
There's a can of film and an old diary hidden in here.
And this old costume, I think I've seen it before, on my father. You can't imagine how I felt watching that amateur film. Seeing my father again as I remembered him. So warm, so strong. Knowing that death would soon steal that smile forever. The whole movie ended with Dad's kidnapping. But the diary, written in my father's own hand, told me everything else I needed to know. This means Joe Chill only pretended to be a hold-up man, and he was actually Lou Moxon's hired killer. Moxon must have ordered Chill not to kill me, so I'd be able to testify that my parents were killed by a frightened robber.
Good grief, Bruce. Moxon used you as his alibi.
And now he's going to pay for it. Get into your costume, Robin. We've just reopened the Wayne murder case. We quickly learned that Moxon was now in the advertising blimp business out in Coast City, and we wasted no time getting there. I don't know what we may find here, Robin. This is as good a place as any to start. What we found was trouble with a capital T, and my uniform was in tatters by the time we finally finished with Moxon and his mom. Come on, Moxon. You've got a long overdue date with the police. But when we actually brought Moxon into police headquarters. Lou Moxon, I'm charging you with the murder of Dr. Thomas Wayne.
Huh? I never heard of any Dr. Wayne, and I'm willing to take a lie detector test to prove it.
I hammered questions at Moxon as if they were coffin nails. But when the interrogation was finally over...
See for yourself, Batman. The needle didn't jump once. Nobody can beat this machine, so he must be telling the truth.
But this isn't possible. It can't be. I stood by helplessly as Moxon was released on bail for assault and battery. And I could feel him laughing at me behind my back all the way. In desperation, I called Commissioner Gordon. And my pulse quickened as he told me.
Moxon was in a car accident right after Dr. Wayne was murdered, and he sustained a head injury. One day, he wandered away from the hospital and simply faded out of the picture. Until now.
Then that head injury must have given Moxon amnesia. He honestly doesn't remember Thomas Wayne. But as I prepared to confront Moxon with this knowledge...
Your costume is really shredded, Batman. and you didn't bring a spare. How about wearing your father's costume?
Why not? It would certainly be appropriate. It would be almost as if Dad were arresting Moxon. Later, alone in his office, Moxon looked up to find a grim figure framed in the doorway. I've come for you, Moxon.
Who? That costume. I've seen it before. So long ago, some doctor. Doc Wayne. Yeah, he wore that outfit. But he's dead. Go away! You're dead! I paid Joe Chill to kill you. Just leave me alone!
It's more than I could have hoped for. The shock of seeing this old costume has restored Moxon's memory. In a blind panic, Moxon raced past him, out into the street, and directly into the path of an oncoming truck.
Keep away from me, Wayne! Keep away from me!
Lou Moxon died with my father's name still on his lips. I'd wanted to take him alive, to stand trial for his crimes, but his own guilt convicted him in a far higher court. The night was oddly peaceful when I stood by my parents' graves for the final time and said goodbye. It's over, Mom, Dad, finally over. I've done as I promised you. Perhaps now you can finally rest in peace. I have not been back to the cemetery since. But my parents are with me. They'll always be with me in spirit. Whoever is behind this may destroy a costume, but never a dream.
Did you learn anything from the remnants, sir?
Not enough, Alfred. Not nearly enough. But the hunt is only beginning.
I'll keep the home fires burning, sir.
And with that, the sleek Batmobile roars through a lengthy tunnel to exit the Batcave to the secluded cul-de-sac called Finger Alley, several blocks distant. The black-cloaked legacy the Dark Knight's father had unwittingly left him had been destroyed. And there is nothing that can be done about it now, save to exact some small measure of vengeance. Eyes narrowed, jaw clenched, the grim Batman's own words of early this evening come back to him anew.
I have not shed a single tear in my parents' memory since their funeral,
he had said. And he had been right. Until now.